All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is...
Maddie Juice. What's going on, everybody? Episode 97. Excited to talk about today's game. What do we have on the menu today, Tommy?
Today we have He Is Coming, a game that I'm excited to talk about. It's in early access, developed by Chronicle, published by Hooded Horse. It's on Steam for $14.99, but we will get to that. We have a great show ahead of us. We're going to talk about some news. We're going to catch up. We have some listener questions. We have some rec rooms, and then we're also going to review that game. So stick around. Take a poke around at the chapters if you so choose. That's a cool way to interact with the YouTube videos. But we got to talk about some serious stuff.
We do.
How was your week?
We do. it was good. Yeah, it was good. Actually, on Saturday, we went to our mutual friend, Matt. Not me. His son was playing some like travel baseball. His son's like six or seven. I think 6 years old, something like that. And we went, checked out one of his games. He actually had two games. And then if they won those two, they played a third game. They were going to play three games in one day. I'm like, oh my God, I don't think I ever did that playing baseball. It was like doubleheader max. But unfortunately, his team, not very good. I know they're young kids, but they did have to try out for the team. And he was like the only one, and I'm not just saying this because I know him, but he's like the only one who like cared and like actually kind of knew what was going on. And he pitched for the first time ever. He just did one inning and started out with two strikeouts. Then he walked a few guys, and then he got a third strikeout. So he had three strikeouts, no runs given up. You know, congratulations to that kid right there. I'm not going to say his name, but congratulations to him. And, it was awesome. Like, he's very much into baseball, which is really cool. Just as, like, you know, someone that played baseball for a while, it's always cool to see like kids actually care about it, because it's not an easy sport to get into, because it's, you know, sometimes not that exciting, right?
Yeah.
But then there's these moments of like a lot of excitement, so it was just really cool to see. Unfortunately, I think his team got mercied both games. But he did pretty well from what I saw. We only watched the second game. It was a good time. You know, I had some other friends show up and all that, but that was fun. And then let's see, what else did we do? Just yesterday was my father-in-law's birthday, so we went out to dinner, stuff like that. Just did some stuff around the house, nothing too crazy. Baby's coming any day now, so not trying to go too far, do too much, all that sort of stuff. And that's about it. You know, played some He Is Coming as well, which I'm excited to talk about. And I think that's pretty much everything. What about you, Tommy? How was your weekend?
It was good. Friday, we had a concert, Lord Huron, our favorite, the wife and I's favorite band. So during the day, I was like, okay, we're going to like tailgate. So I was working up in the Middlesex area, and there's what some would consider the best Italian sandwich in the state of New Jersey, a place called Sapori's. They also make their own raviolis and pasta and stuff like that too. And I've gotten a sandwich there before. It was incredible. And I was like, okay, we'll get some sandwiches. Now, they're $17. However, one sandwich will last you like three meals. That's how big these things are. So I got a couple sandwiches. I also went a little wild. I saw they had a pepperoni Asiago bread. I'm like, well, got to try what that is all about. Got some pepper shooters, got some raviolis to bring home. And I got to say, I love it there, because it's got this edge to it, right? Like, where they're not being mean to you, but they're not being overly nice, but they're just like, oh, hey, what's going on? What can I get you? But like, it's in a more, you know.
Like, yeah, they're being Italian to you.
Yeah, tell me what you want, because I got other stuff to do, but I'm trying to be polite about it. I love that. I'm like, oh, yeah, can I get the chicken sandwich and, you know, the Big Dom or whatever the hell the name of the sandwich was called. But that was cool. And then there's like an old Italian guy who must be the owner walking around. He like pats me on the back. Hey, man, how you been? I'm like, good. Never met that guy in my life. And I'm like, this is good stuff. So got those. Went to the Mann Center in Philly. We were tailgating. We were going to tailgate with Bags and his fiance, but they ended up running late. Met up with my coworker. He was hanging with us. And then we saw Bags a little bit later in the venue. That was fun. And then what did I do Saturday? Saturday, the wife went to the beach. I hung out. I got some stuff done. I started a new Balatro journey.
In my life,
I actually started two Balatro journeys. I can only speak about one. The other, they're still brewing. It still needs to be hatched. But I heard about, there is a popular Balatro content creator called Balatro University on YouTube. Some of you may have heard of that creator. And allegedly, I mean, I just heard about this, that creator 100% of the game, did a run 100% of the game, not losing one time. And I was like, oh, we're like doing no death Balatro runs now. So I'm trying to see how far I can go in a no death Balatro run.
Oh my God.
I've done three runs. And, you know, I've won all three. I started a new thing. So, like, I'm still in White Stake and stuff like that. So, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And then did that. And then
so, if you lose, sorry, if you die, do you then start a new save or you just kind of go back?
Start a new save.
Well,
this
all
is
right.
Hardcore how gaming, far, folks.
How far, like, what do you think is going to be your first real obstacle?
So I know for a fact the black deck will be the hardest deck to like get through. And I don't think it will happen on the first stake or the second stake, but once they start getting up there, that is going to present the most problems. Now, any given run can go poorly, right? There's no doubt about it. But that no death run by Balatro University shows it's possible. You can focus and like make really interesting micro decisions that you wouldn't have done anyway because you're just trying to survive to the end and build out a good run. So we'll see how far. Probably by next week, I'll be like, well, I died. I'm on my next no death run. So yeah, we'll see. But
I think if you get towards the end, you got to do a stream or something, you know, just so we can see, like, if you're on like the last deck, I need to see, you know,
it's on my phone. I mean, I'm doing it on my phone, but I guess I could figure out a way to stream that. Right.
Yeah. Or just, you know, or just
do it like this.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah. Just pointing at the camera.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. Now, what did I do yesterday? Oh, we went for a bike ride. And we stopped and got some wine because there's a winery right off the bike path. That was cool. And then I was playing He Is Coming in here, and there was a fly in this room. And it was driving me nuts. And I couldn't catch it. And if you notice, these walls are black. So it's like perfect camouflage for this fly unless, you know, he lands on something white. And he kept landing up there on the light. And I was like, I would be like playing and I would hear the buzzing stop. And I go, okay, I'll climb up. I was like, and just, it never got it. And my wife was laying there on the bed just hanging out. And she was getting a good laugh out of it, I would say. Yeah. But I think
the fly lives.
Dead. I think it's dead now.
All right. Yeah.
It was a big one. You could tell it had already lived its life. And it was just like, I'm going to cause mayhem here at the end. So, but anyway, that was my weekend.
Yeah. Nice. It's a good ending to a good weekend. No, that's fun stuff. Fun stuff. I hate flies too. Actually, we found that we actually enjoy when a fly comes into the house now, just because it entertains Pluto so much. It literally he'll just, he doesn't like try to jump at it. He just follows it around and stares at it up on the wall, and it'll just entertain him. Like, it's just, I'm thinking I should just have a thing of flies, and whenever we need to just entertain him, we'll just let one go in the house, and there you go. He's entertained.
I mean, I'll keep that in mind next time I have one. I'll be like, come on back over here, pup. We need you to look at this thing. But I guess it would be better if you could kill it. But
yeah,
hey, we got some news. First, big news. We have a Discord. It's in the show notes below. Ooh. Please join it. You can submit listener questions. Have a good time. I just wanted to put this here as well. Tales of the Shire seems to be not living up to the hype. I know that your wife played it, and I was wondering if those same sentiments, because I also hear from some people that it was everything they expected.
Yeah, so I've watched her play a bit of it. I know also our buddy Bags, his fiance, has been playing as well. I think she's further along, but to me, the game reminds me of something that we probably played like growing up. Mm-hmm. It kind of has like my wife has played the old Harry Potter games, right? So like reminds me of like that era of gaming, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I just think if you're going in, I think a lot of people expected it to be like more like modern kind of cozy games. Now, it's not a perfect game from what I've seen. You know, there's definitely some clunkiness to it. But I think, you know, at least for my wife, you know, she's not a huge like gamer. You know, she likes like Nintendo games, things like that. Like, she's enjoying it. You know, it's you're getting to be a hobbit in the Shire, cooking and harvesting things and just like, you know, farming, things like that. So I think it isn't going to satisfy like people maybe more like us, right? Where we're maybe a bit like, we're going to be kind of comparing it to a lot of things. Or if you're like a big cozy game player, you're probably going to compare it to a lot of different things. But if you're not like a big gamer, or you're just like a really big like Lord of the Rings fan, I think like you'll probably get a good amount of enjoyment out of it. It's also only a $35 game, so you're not getting that $70 price tag that a lot of games are having now. I also did see, you know, I know it kind of got like review bombs in the beginning. I did see that apparently it kind of went from negative or mixed review on Steam to now mostly positive. So it's kind of had this little turnaround where people were like, okay, this is like maybe not the greatest game ever, but there's something here, you know, that like I'm enjoying. I did a little bit of fishing in the game. It's one of those games. Yeah. It just feels like it's from like the past kind of. So if you just kind of view it in that way, you're not really gonna get too upset that there's not, you know, a bunch of these modern mechanics in it, or, you know, there's no like cross progression even. Like, so if you're looking like outside of game mechanics, just things that are in a lot of games these days, cross progression or, I guess cross play probably wouldn't make sense because it's not multiplayer, but things like that, that are just not in the game, which, you know, does disappoint me a little bit because I feel like that's something that they probably could have added, since it is releasing on like every console. You kind of expect that sort of feature. But yeah, I don't know. It's I let my wife know that like this had a 4 out of 10 on IGN, but you know, we'll see how it is. And like watching her play and like going through everything, I'm like, all right, there's some heart that's been put into the game. It's just when people think of like a cozy game that takes place in the Shire, it could have been a lot better, but sure. you know, it's still, yeah, I just kind of view it as like a game from like 2009, you know, something like that, right? Like in that kind of era of gaming. But yeah, so that's how I feel about it. I haven't actually watched it ever, other than the first kind of play session she had. So I don't know like what else you kind of get to do in the game. But yeah, it's an interesting kind of conversation, I think, that's happening now in the industry about that game. Of like, there's people defending it, I see, and then there's people that are just trashing it. So I think it's kind of just in the middle for me.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I the things I heard was that, you know, the positives I heard were that it hits the lore pretty good, right? Like, it's pretty faithful to Tolkien, and that's cool. And it does, I mean, you know, it does remind me, just looking at it, it reminds me of the Hobbit GameCube game, right? It just looks like that, right? So I could totally see where that's coming from. I'm interested. I don't know if I'll end up playing it, but I just saw and I just knew that you knew somebody that was playing it and wanted to get your thoughts. So,
yeah. It's interesting. And I think also one other thing with the game is that it would have been, there's no voice acting in it, which is kind of weird a little bit because you kind of expect to like hear Gandalf at least, you know? So that's just another weird thing where it's just like, did they not have the budget for that? They're making a Lord of the Rings game. But yeah, it's a very weird situation for that game, but it's definitely, it's officially something like I would not have purchased and like probably enjoyed, because I'm going to be just comparing it to a bunch of other games. And so it's, you know, it is what it is kind of thing.
The Lord of the Rings conundrum in video games is strange, right? You got some real duds. You got some like classics, right? The Shadow of Mordor series, where like there's a whole Nemesis system that unfortunately like Warner Brothers is just keeping copyrighted or whatever. And then you got some like really like real stinkers like Gollum, and then like hidden gems like Return to Moria. So like, it, why can't they just nail this IP? I just don't understand, because it's such a rich IP. But you know what, maybe it just should live in the books and in the Peter Jackson films. I don't know about anywhere else, but that's, and the Rankin Bass animated movies as well.
Yeah, I also think like when it comes to gaming, like maybe, I mean, they should potentially explore like a studio just dedicated to Lord of the Rings games. Like, you see that more often now of like, I know like Gears of War and Halo, they have studios like just dedicated to those games. Not that that's a little bit of a different story, because they kind of took over after it was already established. So people always compare them to the previous ones. But I think it could be interesting of like a studio that's just like, all right, we're going all in. Like, we're getting like Lord of the Rings historians in on this. We're getting people that make amazing games on this. Like, we're gonna put in like a ton of effort and just make a really great, like, start out with like a single player Lord of the Rings game, like what Gollum should have been, you know, and then start there, set a foundation, and then from there start to do maybe some spin-off games. Oh, here's a cozy game we made, you know. But I feel like it's just been owned by so many different studios, and then you get in that Warner Brothers situation, right, where they're like trademarking a game mechanic, and it just like it dilutes like the magic of Lord of the Rings, right? When there's just like so much crap out there, so it doesn't really have an identity in gaming, I'd say, not the same way it does in like other mediums. So yeah, I think maybe that's an avenue that they should look at, but I don't know who controls that, or maybe Tolkien has something in his will that said, you know, no, there can't be one game studio. I don't know.
He was like, when he died in the 70s, he was like, let me get that in there real quick. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, some other IPs could do it, right? Like Star Wars does it, right? Harry Potter just had a decent foray into it as well, right? Yeah. So like these IPs have the ability to do it. We'll see if Lord of the Rings can maybe just like escape Warner Brothers would probably be the best thing to happen, yeah. But we'll see. I just wanted to bring it up. But some notable releases this week. August 5th, we got a few quick matches, fast-paced 1-4 player platform fighter that lets you bring old school stick battles to life. Play with your friends locally or challenge players online in this flash inspired spectacle. This one looks cool. It looks like it could be a good Super Smash Bros. Clone, you know, with like nice basic graphics, like flash game inspired, but also, you know, when it's that simple, you can really nail the mechanics. So I wonder if it will be good.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is like, I don't know how many of the listeners out there like grew up with those stick figure flash games that had a lot of gore for stick figures. But this is like very nostalgic for me. It looks pretty well made too. I do think that maybe the name might hurt it a little bit because you don't really understand that it's like stick figure based. I feel a lot of the stick figure games kind of mention it somehow in the title, but regardless, it looks pretty cool. So if you're interested, in those kind of, you know, Smash-like kind of games, a few quick matches does seem pretty cool. And I had no idea about it either. So coming out tomorrow, actually, technically, from when we're recording. So should be out by the time you're listening.
Yeah, you can be like listening to this while you're playing that game. How about that?
Yeah, boom.
And then the day after that, Castle Crashers, Painter Boss Paradise DLC. The Painter Boss Paradise DLC provides a fresh coat of paint. Who knew? To Castle Crashers with new menu art and redraws for all playable characters and weapons. Join Paint Junior, the game's newest official character, and bring your custom character. I never got into the Castle Crashers games.
Yeah, I remember playing them back in the day on like Xbox 360, like arcade, I think it was that, and Battle Block Theater. Would play with some friends, you know, here and there. I never got like super into Castle Crashers, but I definitely played a decent amount of it. More Battle Block Theater than anything, but I think it's just really cool that like this just came out of nowhere. I remember when it was like announced, people were just like, oh my God, there hasn't been like an update to this game in like 15 years or something. And now you like, you can create your own custom character. Like, I don't know where this came from, but it's pretty cool. And I hope that the Castle Crasher fans out there, like, you know, excited about it. Probably I would imagine the last DLC they'll do, but you never know, I guess.
It could be a sign of maybe something else to come down the pipes in forms of a different release, but pretty cool. And then another notable release this week is Gun Touchables, which is an online co-op doomsday roguelike for 1-4 players. You play as a gun-toting group of peppers. Preppers.
Yeah, peppers. Preppers. Let's go.
Trying to reclaim the world from an ever-evolving horde of mutants constantly working to develop new unique ways to kill you. This one looked cool too. This is a, you know, there's no shortage of these kinds of games, but this one definitely seems like it could be a winner.
Yeah. And, you know, now I just want a game that has peppers that you can play as, instead of peppers, but, this game, like it has a kind of like an interesting art style. And it's like cartoony, and it almost reminds me of like a meme-y kind of game, but the gameplay seems interesting. It also seems like something we'd probably see at PAX, right? Where people would, you know, be waiting in line to like check it out. But another kind of, you know, shoot 'em up sort of survivor-likey kind of game in a way. But yeah, you know, it seems like something that people would enjoy. So check it out. Gun Touchables, good name as well.
Definitely. And you know why I was thinking peppers? Because I looked at the Steam page, right? And the characters are like beans or something. They look like
beans.
Like those Mighty Beans that they used to sell. Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the jumping bean thing.
Yeah. So I'm sorry I called them peppers, but maybe in the sequel. Beans and peppers. Listen, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. Now, you know what else might be good? We'll see, because we're about to review it. It is the game He Is Coming. And this is, as I said earlier, developed by Chronicle, published by Hooded Horse. It's in early access on Steam for $14.99. Deep in the forgotten corners of the world, a dark force stirs. The Demon King rises once more. Sharpen your wits, seek out powerful artifacts, and stand firm in the face of the apocalypse in this roguelike RPG auto battler. Holy moly. Let's get into the gameplay. This is, you know, based, like, you know, I would say very straightforward, simple mechanics, right? You are just moving around this map, a procedurally generated map, as your character. You start with one weapon that deals one damage, and you got four equipment slots to start off with. And you have X amount of moves that you have until you get to the boss. Now, what can you discover in this world? You can find new items that all have different kinds of attributes. They can buff your attack, defense, or speed, or they can give you like an additional kind of like keyword. Like one is called freeze, which would like half your opponent's attack for X amount of turns or whatever. So you have X amount of moves throughout each boss cycle that will also have a night and day cycle. So there's random enemies on the board where when you run into them, you will go into this auto battling thing. You don't have to do anything other than press play. And that is kind of how it goes. It plays out, you know, whatever abilities that your weapon and your equipment do will apply based on, you know, whatever timing. Sometimes they'll have an ability that's at the start of battle or at the start of each turn, which is a cycle of attacks. And then there's also like other keywords, like if you lose all your defense or all your like shields, you get like a special buff or something like that. So you run into the enemies that are like around, and you get gold when you beat them, and you can use them at shops that you can find out around the map as well. When it's nighttime, they chase you. When it's daytime, they just stay where they are. So you basically can choose during the day if you want to fight them, and at night you have to run away from them. And you know, it could be in the opposite direction of where you want to go anyway, and then you find another enemy and that chases you anyway. So it's the meat and potatoes of this game. There's chests all over. This is where you kind of find the items. There's shops. There's special kind of buffs that you can give to your weapon, whether it's like a special oil or an edge. And you're kind of trying to build synergies, right? You don't want to just get like random equipment that it just seems good, but oftentimes you want them to work together. Now, the cool thing is at the beginning of each run or each cycle, you can press tab to take a look at what the boss is and what the boss does. So you can kind of build your run around what the boss is going to try to do to you, right? Like a boss might say it's on hit. Like if it gets past your shields, it will deal extra damage. So you're like, oh, well, let me just build up my shields for this run so that when I get to the boss, they're not going to be able to do that extra damage because I'll have a bunch of shields or whatever. That's like a simple kind of synergy you can plan around. And yeah, I mean, it's a good time. I really enjoyed the gameplay. The most satisfying thing that you can do here is like get like something really synergistic and like where you feel like I can't even lose. You're like, oh, all these things work together, and you kind of sought them out. You made these interesting decisions when you got to the chest. And then at the end of every run, whether you beat it or not, you will have unlocked new stuff for you to find on future runs. So more powerful, more interesting synergies and strategies to unlock for future runs. So it gives it a lot of replayability. And oh, also after you beat the first boss, you get extra equipment slots so you can, you know, continue to buff out your character. And then after the next boss, same thing, you get another 2 equipment slots. But yeah, that's the gameplay. I enjoyed it. There's a lot of cool little decisions. It's easy to kind of just put it off to the side too. It's just like if you're working on something and then you got to take a step away from playing the game, it's no problem because the time only progresses when you're doing something. So I did like that. In terms of negatives, I don't know if I had a ton of negatives on the gameplay side. I think that there are times when the run doesn't really come together, but I think that's with any roguelite. And the nice thing about this game is it's so easy to just hop back in, and it's like fast paced. It's as fast paced as you want it to be, right? Because you could just be moving around the map as fast as you want, and all of a sudden you're at the boss. So yeah, it didn't have a lot of negatives for the gameplay. It's definitely reminiscent of games I've enjoyed before. You know, Loop Hero kind of comes into mind with this game. And yeah, what'd you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed my time overall with the gameplay. Going into this, just looking at the gameplay, I was like, all right, this is going to be like decently complicated, right? But yeah, it is a very simple game, you know, where once you kind of do one run, you're like, all right, I completely get this. I understand. You know, and there's like small little nuances that you end up like picking up, like, okay, I got to pay attention to like when it's going to turn night and then try to like capitalize on my opportunities when it's nighttime, because there's like campfires you can find only at night that heal you, things like that. And then, yeah, like figuring out, you know, what the boss is weaker to. So as you kind of start to do more runs, you start to figure out those things, but like the core element of the game, the core gameplay loop, you really do understand like right after the first run. So I thought that was great. And then even like things like, you know, the fact you can switch up your equipment in order to, you know, because it triggers like, you know, in the first slot, and then it, you know, similar to like how the Jokers kind of work in Balatro, right? Where like it's going to trigger in the first slot first, and then it kind of goes down from there. I didn't really find that like I was doing that a lot or getting a lot of benefit out of that, because yeah, there are a lot of things that just say like turn start, battle start. So they're going to trigger anyway when your turn starts or the battle starts. It's just if you have like multiple of those, you can kind of start to decide, okay, I want this to trigger first before this other one, that both trigger at the start of the battle or at the start of your turn. So I appreciate that feature, but I just feel like I didn't really like care that much. I tried to like put things in like the places where I thought it made more sense to like have that trigger first. But at the end of the day, I don't think it really ended up mattering too much. Maybe as you get like really far into a run, that stuff starts to matter more. But I mean, I do have 39 hours in the game. No, technically I do. That's a problem I did have with the gameplay. You know, not the core gameplay, but just the fact I couldn't figure out how to save a run. So I just left the game open, forgot it was open. So I have a bunch of hours into the game. But it would be nice if there was a way to kind of save a run. I actually thought that you could save a run, and when I left my run and I went back in, it started fresh, and I was like, oh, I was on a really good run and I just lost everything. So that was something that I hope they end up adding to the game, because I do see myself like wanting to do more runs in it. Like it's very addicting because it is procedural. You know, you don't know kind of what's around the next turn, especially the other mode they have where it's called Kingmaker, where the bosses are other players' builds. So you're no longer fighting against, you know, what the developer has kind of built as the bosses, but you're fighting against what other players have built. And that gets a little bit more challenging just because people get really creative with their builds. So I played a little bit of that. I want to play more. And one thing with the gameplay that I would also like to kind of see improved, other than like saving runs, is a lot of the game, right? Like you're using like WASD to move around, I believe, unless it's the arrow keys. I honestly forget which one it was. But the important part is that when you go to open a chest or you go to a merchant, you have to use your mouse in order to like click things. And I'm like, why can't I just use, you know, what I'm already have my, you know, my fingers on? Like it's kind of one of those games where like, I feel like I could just sit here, right? And just kind of like use a few controls and not really have to do much on my keyboard in order to like play it. I just hope they add that in there. I feel like that maybe was just like an oversight, because I feel like it's totally possible to do that. But I did really like the simplicity of the gameplay. Like you mentioned, there's only a few kind of stats you need to worry about. There's certain things you can find that are awesome. Like, for example, if you're watching on Spotify or YouTube right now, there's things you can find, locations you can find where you're combining items together, or you're converting a rarity of one item to another item. If you have two of the same item, there's things you can find that combine those two together, which is really cool. So you start to think about that as you're kind of going through your build, where normally you might be like, oh, I don't want to get the same item twice. But then if you realize that there's a location near you that can combine them, then, you know, maybe you want the same item twice. So all these kind of things that, you know, you just kind of have to think about. But yeah, it is a really, really simple game at the end of the day. When I was going into this, I was thinking it was going to be just more complicated, especially when it started to show, since it is procedural, you can kind of scroll across the map, and there are certain areas outside of what you've discovered that are like highlighted a little bit, so you can kind of see what's sort of there, so you have an idea of like, all right, I want to head this general direction. So after like it showed me that feature, I was like, all right, this is going to get like really complicated. Like I'm going to be exploring so much of this map. But then as you realize, you know, every step you take is like progressing through the day and night, and you really don't have that many turns or steps before the boss, you start to realize like these runs are like pretty quick. And, you know, you can get through a few bosses, you know, in a reasonable amount of time. So that was just surprising to me. For some reason, looking at the game, I'm like, this is going to be more complicated. It's going to be like these long runs that have to happen. But I really enjoyed the gameplay here. I don't really have really negatives about the gameplay itself, other than like that control thing that I mentioned, and then the fact you can't save your run, or at least I couldn't figure out how to save my run as I was going through. And then something else, just real quick, that I thought was really interesting. I didn't actually use this, but you can just skip right to the boss battle as well. If when you hit escape, it just has a fight boss option. And I guess you can just skip directly to the boss battle if you feel like you're ready for that. I didn't do that because I'm like, why would I you know, I feel like I could use the extra time. But this gameplay seems like it's a little pause right here. There we go. But yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, I'm not a big auto battler kind of guy, but this one I thought was really cool in the way that they did it. And they simplified it, very easy to understand, like how to, you know, get through certain enemies. You see certain enemy types, you're like, oh yeah, I've got enough. I can just clear that, no problem. So yeah, I enjoyed my time with the gameplay. I think they did a great job of just making it simple enough to understand. So yeah, really enjoyed it. It was surprising for me. It was a surprising game. I didn't realize I'd like the gameplay so much.
Did he end up coming?
He did, all over the map. yeah, he did. He did for sure.
But anyway, yeah. So yeah, I'm glad that you liked it, because you know, I know this isn't typically your genre. Now, story-wise, there's not a lot, right? It sets it up like, hey, there's this evil king that's in this world, and it's just very bare bones. This is why you are doing this, and it's cool. Like, there's certainly a decent amount of flavor in this game, I think, you know, with these really unique kind of looking bosses, and you know, kind of what they do, and like different kinds of items that you can find. I think that could be a little bit more fleshed out as we kind of get through early access into 1.0. And that's actually like going to be like a spoiler alert. I think a lot of this game I really loved. And my biggest complaint is I don't really, from what I could see, there's no real roadmap, right? And I know they're working on it. They put out a bunch of patches in the first week or so. And, you know, they've said that, all right, they put out 4 major patches. They did some stuff for the Kingmaker mode, which is the multiplayer. And then they're like, oh, we're taking a break to work on new patches or whatever. So,
yeah,
you know, I know they're working on it. I just would like a more definitive roadmap. I think that's going to be my biggest thing here. But the story, I didn't really expect anything. It's kind of funny. He is coming. Who's he? He is the one that's coming. You know, you're like in this weird world that, you know, it's just all evil. You're the hero and you're trying to do it. Not deep at all, but I don't think it really needed to be. How about you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. You know, I actually, when I first launched the game, I had accidentally skipped over the I accidentally hit a button that skipped over the, you know, kind of story building that happens in the beginning, those first few screens. And I had thought it was kind of telling me how to play. And I was like, oh my God, I have no idea how to play. So I tried to like delete my save. I'm like, uploaded to like Steam Cloud. I was like trying to figure out, how do I just reset the game so I can get back to that point? Because every time I would load in from then on, it would just put me into a run. I was like, I don't know what to do. So I kind of missed out on a few story elements, and I figured that maybe it would start to unravel the more I played. But yeah, there's not really anything else that you kind of learn, which is fine. You know, as I was continuing to play, I was like, all right, I don't really need to know, you know, what's kind of going on here. I mean, it would be interesting to get a little bit more information on like the he is coming kind of aspect as you're kind of playing. But it's yeah, it's definitely not necessary. And I'm honestly like, I know we haven't gotten to the art side yet, but I would just like more story elements so I could see more of the art. Mm-hmm. Because I just think it looks cool. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, I don't really have, you know, any other notes on the story. Maybe it's a good time to segue into the art.
Yeah.
Tommy, what did you think of the art for this game? It's definitely, you know, it's definitely got a theme to it.
Yeah, it's minimalist. It is clean. It has these really like the nice dark black backgrounds with like these pops of like primary colors, and I guess green. primary colors and green, and like kind of popping out. It's very simple. It's minimalistic, much like the gameplay, but it really works. And you get a feel for what each color means, right? Which is awesome, right? Like, you know, like the blue's going to have something to do with your defense. You know, the red's going to have something to do with your attack. Yellow has to do with speed. Green has to do with health. And then, you know, everything else is really laid out for you in terms of information. So that's really cool. I love the character design, and just the animations in general are so cool. And these nice little, like almost board game-esque kind of setup on the map, right? Where you're just like a little square going around, and then you go into your encounters and you can kind of see the things going around with little mini animations, not too much, right? You know, it's still very,
yeah,
you know, rigid, but I think it works with what this game is, right? And honestly, now this is, now Chronicle, if you're out there listening, and we know you are, if we could figure out a port to Game Boy Color for this game.
Oh, wow.
Would that not be so sick?
That would be awesome.
That would be so cool. Yeah. I mean, like, mobile would be cool, right? But, like, in my mind when I'm playing it, I'm almost thinking maybe even, because it is a little bit wider, you can just do it on the Game Boy Advance. I don't know. What's wrong with me? But something like that would be pretty neat.
The so, Avanche.
The Avanche. the Avanche HP. But this game, it's not going to tax your computer or anything like that. It just looks clean. You see it and you're like, and this is the beauty of it, right? You see it and you're like, if you've played He Is Coming, you're going to be like, you see a screenshot, you're like, oh, He Is Coming, right? Like that is that game. It's very distinct. There's nothing like this. I mean, there's stuff like this, but like at the level of this is kind of executing, I don't think we see a lot of this. So it knows exactly what it is and it nails it. And it kind of has this, what do they call it? Like not like CTV kind of like lines to it too. So it feels like you're playing it on like an old, like SNES or even just NES. Like this could have just been on an old TV somewhere.
Yeah. The scan lines.
Yeah. The scan lines. That's what I'm thinking. But yeah, I like this art style. I mean, I don't really need to be blown away by, you know, really complex stuff. It's nice when it does, but this is just like perfect for the experience because, you know, the experience is relatively simple. The art is relatively simple, but it all makes sense together. And it gives you more time to actually like focus on like making the right decisions too. So that's what I thought.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I immediately thought of like Game Boy games when I saw this. So that would be awesome if it was like ported. Even, you know, I was thinking mobile also would be great. I'd definitely play this game on mobile. And yeah, I really love the simplicity of the art style. It brings me back to, you know, playing those like old Game Boy games. And, you know, I actually don't like scan lines with games. Like I think in like Balatro, they're maybe on by default. I turn them off. But this game didn't mind it at all just because it kind of all felt nostalgic to me. In terms of like, you know, I mean, the UI is easy to understand. I had no issues with that. Enemy designs are cool. I mean, we're looking at like an awesome like bear like boss, like this razor claw grizzly that this person's fighting right now. Just looks really cool. Unfortunately, they died. but really cool little animations as well. So it's not just like all static, kind of like what you were mentioning. There's little animations here and there. Really, the only thing I had, would like to see, I don't know, it's not necessarily improve, but just to like add a little bit more variety, is I kind of felt like I was consistently in like one biome, basically. When I was playing, maybe I just didn't get far enough, or maybe I just don't fully remember if I got into another biome, but it would be nice to like switch that up a little bit more. And again, maybe I just didn't get to that point, but I don't remember like being outside of like the forest kind of area. Is there another biome that you get to?
Yeah. So when you beat the woodland, you unlock the swampland. So they're definitely going to be adding more biomes. I mean, you can only assume based on that like minor progression there. But yeah, you're kind of limited to the woodlands until you beat the woodlands, basically. And then you can start playing in the swamplands, which just is more higher difficulty, different biome.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's good to know. And you know, I was like, okay, it would be really great if, you know, I understand there's icons on the map and you understand what these encounters are going to be, whether it's like combat or like the treasure chest, merchant, whatever. I was like, it'd be really cool if they're just like random things that happened, right? Like, you know, something jumps out of the trees and like gets like attacks you. But then as I was playing, you kind of mentioned this, it would kind of mess up your strategy, right? As you were like trying to get to the boss. So, because I was kind of thinking like art wise that could be really cool, but it makes more sense to kind of have these like, you know, predetermined I know it's procedural, but like you know what you're kind of getting into when you get to a certain area or as you're like venturing. So but overall, I mean, I really did love the art in the game. I think it's if I saw it, I would know it's like He Is Coming. So I think that's a win for sure.
Awesome. And in terms of the sound design, did I lose you? No, I'm right here.
You're right there.
I'm right here. I have come. sound and music. Pretty simple, you know, just kind of this bit tone kind of music with these, you know, crunchy little sound effects when you're doing the battles. Reminds me a little bit of Loop Hero in that way. Another reason it reminded me of that. I'm certain there was a decent amount of influence there. I would like maybe a little bit more variation would be my biggest thing, but from what you listen to, it's good, right? It's just a nice fantasy inspired, you know, 8-bit soundtrack that says sounds nostalgic, like a lot of this game is kind of nailing already. Other than that, I don't really have many notes. I mean, it sounded good. Like, nothing bothered me. I just would want a little bit more variation in the soundtrack. And yeah, I think that there's a lot here that can be still added in this early access. So what'd you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I didn't have any problem with the sound. You know, it fits like the tone of the game overall. Variation would be nice. I mean, I didn't even get to the other biome, I guess. I kept dying on like the third boss, I think, second or third boss. So I don't know how much it actually changes when you get to that other biome, but at least the one I was in, you know, yeah, it would be nice to have a little bit more variety. But yeah, I don't have a lot of notes either. There's not a lot of like sound effects that are kind of happening in the game. I mean, when you're in your combat encounters, is like a little bit, but it's really, yeah, there's not a lot kind of going on. There's not like voice acting, things like that you're encountering. So it's really the music is like the primary thing that you're hearing as you're playing. And here's a little sample of it just for the listeners. Hopefully this comes through. There you go. They were selecting some things there, mm-hmm. But there's some of that music. You heard that too? We're good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, so definitely has a cool vibe to it. Yeah, it's something. It's even a game where like I would be fine muting it and then just playing my own music, because it's kind of like a game, you know, that like you can just kind of have running on the side sort of thing, which I would be fine with. So yeah, a little bit more variety would be my only note. So I'm there with you.
Cool. And performance wise, worked totally fine for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No issues from my side either. Just, you know, would be nice to be able to save a run. I guess I'll put that in performance. Sure. And also like the keyboard thing, just being able to control everything with the keyboard rather than using the mouse for things. But other than that, yeah, no issues whatsoever. Like this could totally run on mobile. Would definitely pick it up if it was ever ported over there.
Cool. And that is going to be time for our ratings. Our rating system is as follows. Our S-tier games are Certified Fresh Juice. These are games like Balatro. A-tier, these are good games. A steal, right? These are games that are not great, but still very good. And we definitely recommend them. These are games like The Cub. Our B tier is Get On Sale. These are games that have issues, but there's some redeemable qualities. So you might want to wait till it goes on sale, or maybe in the future they make better updates and kind of fix the problems. These are games like Wizard with a Gun. And then after that, you got C tier, which is Manager Special. Games that we didn't particularly enjoy, but if you're really into a certain genre, you might like it. Or if you want to check it out, if it's free to play or on a deep discount, you might enjoy it. And then finally, Spoiled Milk, games that we don't recommend for anyone. Matthew, what are you going to give He Is Coming?
I'm going to give He Is Coming a Certified Fresh Juice, all right? Because I had a great time playing this. I can't wait to play more. And it was honestly a game, like I mentioned earlier, I thought it would be more complicated than what it was. And I was pleasantly surprised at how simple the game is. I want to try to get further. I want to try to get that swamp unlocked. And I would really appreciate a roadmap, especially since it's an early access game, so that, you know, I can look forward to some updates for the game. But I really enjoyed my time with it. It would easily be a game I could recommend to people, especially if you like auto battlers. I think it's a really interesting one. So I'm giving it a certified fresh juice, Tommy.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I am also giving it a certified fresh juice. I enjoyed the demo of this game when it, you know, came out a while ago. And I was like, oh boy, I'm looking forward to this one. And I'm really enjoying it. This is a game that is going to be, first of all, it's so easy to just hop in and play. And I think you just have a good time. And it really is satisfying when you get those combos, and like, you're like, oh wow, I am really just cooking with this build. And then also being able to like unlock all these different kinds of items that you kind of like, oh man, like you look at the compendium afterwards after you unlock them and you're like, I'm going to look for that because I want to build something around that on the next run. Really cool. Excited to see how it, you know, continues to grow. They do have I've been in their Discord since I played the demo, and it's pretty, pretty like, What busy, I guess. Active, I would say. Active is the word, yeah, I was looking for. But so they're definitely doing stuff often, and there's a lot being put into this game. So I'm excited to see what is going on. So just something, there is one note, there's no roadmap, but I was just looking at their last patch. They just mentioned that the top of their list of issues to address is 1, saving runs, which you mentioned, and then mouse only / keyboard only controls, which you mentioned.
Look at that.
And ways to mitigate RNG and an expanding item pool. So that makes sense too. So they're working on it. So for early access, This is a good time, and he is coming, so you better buckle in. And next week we got Hellbuilder, I think, probably, or Oscura. Yeah. We'll see. One of the two. We will see. You will see when it shows up on your feed. We're getting closer to your baby coming. That's crazy. She is coming, actually.
It's true.
She'll be here sooner rather than later. So that'll be exciting. We do have listener questions. These come from the Discord. The first one comes from Kmore, who asked, how do you like your movie theater popcorn?
So I haven't had this in a while, but I like it buttery. All right. I'm a buttery guy. I like it buttery. I like layering the butter, you know? So like, you can even tell them to do this at the theater. You'd be like, I want it layered. Hopefully they do it for you, but they fill it like halfway and then they put a layer of butter and then they fill the rest, put butter on the top. Haven't done that in a long time, but that's how I always used to get it. I get that sucker buttered up. And by the end of the movie theater, I was, you know, couldn't even hold on to my drink end of the movie. But that's how I like it. What about you?
Oh man, I mean, I like it buttery. I do not like how my hands feel when it is, but I definitely like it salty, right? I need a nice little salty snack. We're going to the movies on Thursday. I'm really excited. We're gonna go see Weapons, and
nice,
we're gonna definitely be having popcorn, so that's exciting. And yeah, I don't know. I do like it buttery, but salty is nice. Yeah. I never was one of the people that threw the M&Ms in there. I know people like that. You know. Although I will say, I went to the M&M World a couple of years ago. Not to brag, I go to nice places, and they had popcorn M&Ms with like little like popcorn centers. that were
interesting.
That were actually fuego. They were excellent.
All right.
And that's like not nice. Something I normally go for. I was like, I gotta try this, and it was tasty. So
yeah. Now I've had like at home popcorn, you know, when you like just put the kernels in like a brown bag. I've put like, you know, like garlic powder and stuff there, you know, like do a little something like that. But you're not getting that at like a movie theater, really, right? So
sometimes they have it, but it's like extra money to get like a dusting of seasoning. It's like, just give me the classic. Just hit me with the old classic. Yeah. But we do have like a white cheddar jalapeno dust that we have here from when we make it.
Nice. At home, nice.
Which is good. So I like the like white cheddar popcorn, like the smart food.
Smart food? Oh, yeah.
That's good.
And also, I mean, I'm a big Cracker Jack guy. I like like caramel popcorn, you know, that's good stuff. And also, I just saw this that, like, I guess this is like Freakier Friday is coming out. And they're doing at the theater, like, if you get popcorn, it looks like a drink. And if you get a drink, it looks like popcorn. So it's like switched. So I was like, that's kind of cool, you know, interesting. It'll cost you like $100, but it's cool.
Hey, listen, I bought this Jaws thing last time I was at the movie theater. I didn't even see Jaws. I just loved the movie. And I saw they had that. I was like, can I buy that? They're like, yes. And I also have the helm of Hammerheld or whatever from the Lord of the Rings. But
nice.
I also really love that big like metal tin bucket of popcorn. It's got the caramel, the cheddar, and then I forget, it's like regular in the other one.
Yes, that's the last one you eat. Yeah, whatever that one is. Yeah.
That would be crazy. I've seen people do it. I'm not brave like these people, but where they open that and then they just pull out the divider and there's like, we're just going crazy.
Animals.
But thanks for the question, K-Moore. Next question comes from Capolo. What percentage of time is your Switch 2 docked versus playing as handheld? And he adds, I never docked my Switch 1.
Honestly, my Switch 2 is docked most of the time. Same with my Switch 1. I like to play it on the TV. The only time I'd really ever play it handheld is like, you know, if we were like at PAX or like if I was just laying in bed. But most of the time I like booting it up with the Pro Controller, you know, just sitting back, enjoying. We were just playing Mario Kart World docked, and I was playing some Donkey Kong as well docked. Also, obviously, like you get better performance technically when it's docked. I don't think that matters too much with the Switch 2, but with the Switch 1, it definitely, I think, made a difference. Most of the time I do play it docked, which is interesting because it's obviously like, you know, advertised to be on the go, but I always love that that's an option though, to have it on the go, you know? So yeah. What about you, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Docked. Yeah. Is that what you're laughing at? He's coming.
Said docked like 20 tons in a row. It was weighing.
It's
on
in
me.
The question.
I know. Yeah. I have been playing the Switch 2 like 90% handheld at this point, maybe even more. But that's just because of like where I have the dock right now. It just isn't like a good spot to be playing. So, like, I got to figure that out. I kind of want to put a TV in here somewhere, like, so that I can play up here. So, I would like to play it docked, but mostly handheld. Thanks for the question, Capolo.
Also, this is something I did with the Switch 1 that I'll probably end up doing with the Switch 2 is, like, eventually Nintendo will have, maybe they already do, I haven't looked, but they'll have the refurbished docks that you can buy. So it's like half the price. And they come with another charging cable. Because a lot of like the third party docks you buy, they don't come with that. So I got that for the Switch 1 so I could easily just move from, you know, upstairs to downstairs. So be on the lookout for that, folks, if you're a docked player like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen. I mean, I like handheld. I mean, when I got the Switch 1, I mean, I played and beat to completion Breath of the Wild handheld on the toilet. So
yeah, nice. One session.
Multiple sessions, but I mean, but Bonanza, I'm playing all handheld. And you know what? And we didn't even mention it, but there was the partner showcase with Nintendo, and Silk Song was not mentioned. But I guess that's got to be an indie showcase, to be honest. Like, in hindsight, I don't know why people actually thought it was going to happen, just because IGN posted a picture of Silk Song when they announced the Direct. But I think I'm going to reboot up Hollow Knight soon on there and just kind of try to, like, pregame Silk Song and get ready for it. But hell yeah. Thanks, Coppola. Yeah. Last question comes from R-Carp, who asks, what is a must-have for a cozy game to be appealing to you?
So, honestly, you know, I think, like, having a lot of unlockables or a lot of things to collect is, like, a must-have. Like, I look at, like, Animal Crossing, and, like, I downloaded an app that shows me, you know, I logged in everything I've ever captured, and it shows me what things I don't have and are they active right now. So, like, that's what I like to do, is just, like, any sort of cozy game where it just has a lot to, like, unlock, like, whether even if it's, like, weapons, you know, or, like, farming equipment, like, whatever it is, I just want to try to, like, unlock as much as possible. Now, I don't play a lot of cozy games because I like doing cozy things in games, like survival games. I like going around and, like, chopping wood and mining and, like, farming. But then I also do like having, like, the combat side of things and, like, you know, getting into, like, you know, those sort of situations. But yeah, I always just like that next thing to kind of go for, that next thing to kind of find, which I think with Tales of the Shire, from also some feedback I've seen, is like, it doesn't really have a lot of that sort of stuff. So it's not a game that's going to have a lot of longevity. I think that's a thing for me with cozy games, is like, I want it to be something that, like, you know, it's going to take me forever to complete, you know, like an Animal Crossing kind of thing. So yeah, that is what I'm thinking.
Cool.
You?
Yeah. I get where you're coming from. I think for me, I need, like, daily tasks, right? Mm. To, like, kind of, because I like being able to hop in, do my daily tasks, and then, like, if I want to continue to do some stuff, I can. But I like, my favorite thing about, like, Animal Crossing is hopping in each day and like going to find the fossils, right? Because there's only X amount of fossils that are buried on like in your town each day. And then also, I think, like, I like when NPCs give you tasks. Like, if I'm, like, talking to an NPC and they're like, hey, can you go do this for me? Or I need you to go talk to so-and-so. Or I really want an apple pie or something like that, and you gotta go craft an apple pie. So, like, I like that, because it's just like, all right, you know, it's keeping me busy, it's keeping me entertained, and then kind of also, it's not high stakes, you know. I think that's the biggest thing.
I get that for sure. That's definitely something for me too. And also, just to let you know, we do have another question that just came in. Hot off the presses, from MF98170. Question is, who has the better butt, Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton?
I think off of memory, it's got to be Stanton. That thing is
that's
freaking.
What I'm thinking too.
That's
poking out there, man.
Perky butt.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. Aaron Judge is more of the whole package kind of guy, right? Mm-hmm. He's an all rounder, right?
Yeah.
Stanton, you know, much like his play, like, I want him at the plate. I don't really care if he's in the field, right? I want Aaron Judge at the plate and in the field all times. So, you know, that's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Stanton, Every time I see him at bat, I'm like, Jesus, dude. Yeah. Like, is he doing it on purpose? He's like arching the back. What's going on here?
You could put like a put a glass on it.
Yeah, you could. You could. But good question. Thank you.
Thank you.
98170, who might be my wife. I don't know.
Who knows? But thank you for all the questions, everybody. We're going to go down to the rec room where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game, and then we're going to say our goodbyes. What do you have to recommend this week?
So my wife and I, we actually watched Happy Gilmore 2, so I'm recommending it. And I know I've seen like people be like, it's the worst movie ever, all this sort of stuff. And I feel like they went into it thinking it would be like some amazing, I mean, movie. It's Happy Gilmore. Like, it's going to be ridiculous. It's an Adam Sandler movie. And I actually, throughout the whole movie, I was finding things to laugh at that I was like, you know, I was like, it's pretty solid for a sequel. I mean, you know, a sequel like whatever, however many years later, I thought that there were some moments in it that were pretty funny. Yeah, I enjoyed myself. It's also, I think it was our mutual buddy, Matt, told me that they had originally planned a script that they had to scrap because the guy, Carl Weathers, passed away. Mm. So you can kind of tell a little bit like throughout the movie that they're like, wow, they're just like, there's just random things happening. But it was a fun watch. Like, if you like Adam Sandler movies, I feel like it fits right in. You know, it's not like Hubie Halloween was like terrible. This is definitely better than that. Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's a solid sequel to a movie that was already ridiculous to begin with. So yeah, it's a fun watch. You know, for people like us that have that nostalgia, I think it's worth the watch, and it was fun. So Happy Gilmore 2 is my rec.
Yeah, I heard it's, you know, it's a lot of cameos and a lot of callbacks to the original. So I wouldn't have really expected much more than that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I know they filmed some of it at one of my accounts, so that was kind of cool.
They were filming like all over Jersey, which is cool. And something they did also in like with the callbacks to the first one is like, because it's been so long, you might not recognize some people. They'll show you the clip from the original movie. And you're like, oh, okay, that's that guy. It's just like been 15 years or whatever. That was good.
That was the 90s, man. That's almost
30
years. Or the 90s.
Yeah, sorry, 30 years. That's a long time. Whatever. It's been a while, yeah. But I will say, like, because I was kind of comparing it to like Anchorman 2, where there's just like so many cameos in that movie. It wasn't to that point where it just felt like, I don't know, it just felt like way too much. There's definitely a good amount of cameos in it, but I didn't feel like it was like an awful amount of cameos. They were like funny cameos, that were in the movie. So anyway, yeah, and there's some pro golfers in it too, which is kind of funny as well. Yeah. So that are in it like for the whole movie, basically. So yeah, give it a watch, you know? It's
Bob Barker comes back? Fun.
Yeah, he's there. He's there. Yep. He's not looking. They go to the grave. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I don't know if, because we don't have Netflix, so I don't know if we'll end up watching it. But and also, I don't know if my wife was a fan of the original, but maybe one day. If it's, that's the thing that kind of sucks, because it's just on like one streaming service. So even if like I was like at like my barber or something like that, where they always have cable TV on, and then sometimes there's just movies playing while I'm like getting my haircut, it won't just be on the TV. Like that would have been a movie that would have ended up on like Comedy Central, like reruns or whatever.
But yeah. I got to get you on the Plex then.
We have a legal box that we bought from an ex-cop. Maybe. Nice. No, we didn't. It's probably on there somewhere, but you know, man, we got a lot to watch. But hey, I am going to recommend an album. So I think I mentioned this band before on the pod, a band called Geese. They have some singles out for their new album coming out next month. And just like, I was like really enjoying them, and I had listened to them before, but I was like, I haven't like done like a deep dive into their other two albums. And their second album, 3D Country, this is by Geese. I think, you know, I've been jamming to it. It's like easily, I think, the best like rock and roll album of the past 5 years, if not longer. It's like, it's fresh. It has its own voice. And then like also you can get, you can hear the influences of all the different eras of rock music within it, which I think is like so sick. So 3D Country by Geese. Pop that sucker on, rock out, have fun. It's a little weird at times, a little funky, a little, you know, heavy. It's got everything. So if you like,
so
you
know, is there a lot of honking?
Yeah, a couple honks. that's actually the thing. They're all geese. They are all geese, as opposed to the band Goose, which is just one guy who's a goose. But this is all geese. But I would check out 3D Country by Geese. I've been rocking out to it. Listen to it on my way to work today.
Cool. But, Hell yeah. And is that, you said that's new album?
No, they have a new album coming out. This is their last album that I kind of like took a deep dive into. This is from 2023, so like 2 years ago. But it's worth it because, you know, go in totally blind. Let them take you on a journey because it's like, it's fun. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Every song's good too. I'm not even just a few, but if you want two songs to listen to, I would say Cowboy Nudes and I See Myself, but I would say listen to the whole thing. Anyway.
Cool.
You can find me on Blue Sky at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. Talk about a game called Flesh and Blood. This week marks 4 years of doing that podcast weekly. I had on my first guest ever back on. He's been on multiple times, but my good friend Taylor Morrow, you know, if you think me and Matt have chemistry on this podcast, me and Taylor have a different kind of chemistry that you can only have with somebody who isn't your cousin. You know, and we're kicking our feet, we're giggling. There's like, no, you say goodbye. No, I'll say goodbye. You say goodbye. So check that out. You can find our podcast on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. I may or may not have a YouTube video going up soon of a game I've never played before. So stay tuned for that.
What could that be?
No one knows.